Lady from Shanghai, Orson Welles' 1947 noir production, based off of the novel If I Die Before I Wake by Sherwood King. Welles stars in the film, playing Michael O'Hara, a cynical mariner trying to make his way in the world. Rita Hayworth co-stars as the basis for the title character Elsa Bannister. Her character is married to Arthur Bannister, a well-known criminal attorney in San Francisco. Arthur, in turn, is partners in the practice of law with George Grisby, characters played by Everett Sloan and Glenn Anders, respectively. The main figures are all tight-knit, and existing dynamics and ties are implied and played upon well by the cast. The dialogue is definitely solid, and indelibly hallmarked with Welles' unique perspective. Verbose, but engaging. It's reminiscent of the style of an old-world writer paid by the word. The film starts off by introducing us to protagonist Michael O'Hara, who makes quick work of propping himself up as a part-time hero, saving Elsa Bannister from some local thugs who hope to assail the woman on her way home. The two subsequently exchange words as Michael accompanies Mrs. Bannister to her car. Just before heading their separate ways for the night, Elsa reveals that she is in fact married, to the great chagrin of O'Hara. She offers him a job, which he promptly refuses due to his newfound mistrust of her. At a hiring agency the next day, Elsa's husband tracks down Michael and offers him the job aboard his yacht again. Declining the offer until the last possible moment, O'Hara eventually finds himself lured back to the Bannister's yacht, the Circe. Michael is eventually persuaded to accept the job for Elsa's sake, though it isn't long before his infatuation with the Enchantress finds him entangled in Machiavellian schemes of murder and malice. Thus both the plot and a recurring criticism I have regarding it find their origins. O'Hara is shown to be an undoubtedly street-smart and savvy individual. Thus his rapid shifts from naive affection to distaste and mistrust for Mrs. Bannister mar their character arcs. There is a redeeming quality to this dynamic, in that it belies a major theme to the film, which is the creation of a facade you show to the world, keeping your true feelings and intentions occluded. O'Hara's facade of a competent, resilient, and emotionally distant wanderer is repeatedly torn away and then hastily mended again as he struggled with his feelings. Regardless, one does wonder if a more gradual, linear evolution might have been better ingratiated into the narrative rather than the emotional turmoil we instead see. These aforementioned sudden transitions are quite common in the film, not only in the character's emotion, but also in the cinematography. There is a sentiment surrounding the film that goes somewhere along the lines of the adage, "Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story." Sometimes realism and interesting continuity are sacrificed for the sake of mood and getting a point across. This might take the form of Elsa happily swan diving into the ocean from a higher ledge than she was shown to be alighted upon moments before, or O'Hara's euphonious narration establishing that the group returned back from their cruise in early October, yet the actual date is repeatedly confirmed as August 9th. That said, even if the scenes themselves are sometimes distracting to follow, they still usually convey their intended narrative, the same of which could likely be said about this reviewer's writing. Just because The Lady from Shanghai doesn't strictly adhere to perfect fidelity, doesn't automatically indicate that the scenes comprising it are of low quality. One could compare this dynamic to Fauvist art, and its prominent use of vivid color values which drift from simple realism into stylization. An ironic comparison for a movie filmed in black and white. I do wish that some of the equally colorful characters in the film were more fully explored and had been better displayed. It often feels as though superbly well-acted roles, such as Grisby's, fall by the wayside, in favor of developing the Bannisters and Michael as the flagship figures. Characters that are often referenced yet seldom seen, looking at Sidney Broom here, get even less chance to make their mark with viewers. Being from a culturally outmoded era, there are one or two moments with a tinge of racism to them which are unfortunate, yet not particularly uncommon for a movie from the time. This is something to consider for those viewers not primarily looking to peer into all facets of a different epoch, however. The movie does border a bit on cliché at times, though to be fair, it was probably the basis for a lot of such tropes to begin with, being filmed in 1947. My critical gripes taken into account, I still give this film an 8 out of 10, primarily due to the dialogue and stylized narrative. I definitely recommend The Lady from Shanghai, whether you're a private eye in training, someone looking to lose themselves in the secretive plots of days past, or just interested in the quick 90-minute film to fill a Friday evening. Anyone willing to sign a petition to change this movie's name to Noir of the Worlds? This has been a review by Ami producer Brandon Peddle for his segment Fashionably Outdated. Thoughtful reviews, charmingly late.